welcome to Misunderstood, a podcast dedicated to better understanding MS and learning to live well with MS. I'm your host, Katie Sloan. Our usual reminders as we begin. First, I am not an expert. I'm just a person like you living with MS and trying to make the best of it. Misunderstood is based on my personal experience, what I've learned from my doctors, other care providers, and my own solutions-oriented research and pattern-finding obsession. While the majority of the information I share has been vetted by doctors, I am not a doctor. My intention is that you use the information shared here as a springboard for discussion between you and your doctor regarding your future care options. And lastly, MS impacts each of us uniquely. I hope to shine a light on a wide range of approaches and strategies for living better with MS. But what you choose to do with that information is always your choice, and what works for one may not work for all. In our previous episode, we were joined by Dr. Terry Jacklin. I hope you enjoyed meeting Dr. Jacklin and are following her on social media. She releases a lot of incredibly helpful content to support us on the journey. Today, we're going to talk about the unique opportunities that this season brings for us to invest in our future happiness. This is the time of year when, historically, I've had my most troublesome MS symptoms and relapses. And I'm not alone. It's not uncommon for those of us who live where big temperature and barometric pressure shifts occur to experience an uptick in disease activity and aligned symptoms. If this is also true for you, you might consider checking out the following relevant episodes for more targeted research and solutions pathways. For SAD, seasonal affective disorder, mental health deterioration is common for us this time of year, as a group very susceptible to depression already. If you're experiencing this, you are not alone. The tools shared in episode 68 can help. Sinusitis. Yes, changes in barometric pressure can impact us a lot, since the vast majority of us live with sinusitis and might not even know it. Check out episode 42 for why this is the case, as well as the research and solutions. Cold weather symptoms. Check out episode 19, Pumpkin Spice But Not Feeling So Nice, to better understand MS cold weather symptoms and what we can do about it. Struggling with illness or the fear of getting ill? Check out episode 40 for safe methods we can use to boost our immunity and limit our exposure risks. Acclimatization. It's not too late to start deliberate acclimatization efforts so that the heat of next summer can be more tolerable. Check out episode 97 for everything you need to know to get started, and reach out if you'd like assistance in developing your own customized plan. Maybe the upcoming holiday season is something that invokes an increase in your stress levels. With a health condition that feeds on stress, the holidays can be a vulnerable time for us. Check out episode 44 for tips you can implement now to better enjoy the holidays this year. In addition to all of the above challenges this season brings, we've got a lot going on right now in our family. We are in our third week of a major bathroom remodel of all three bathrooms in our home. I did not accurately anticipate the challenges I would face having a construction crew in our home 8 hours a day while trying to maintain some semblance of normalcy. And last month, my family experienced the unexpected loss of my aunt and godmother. If you've lost a loved one, you know how much the emotional strain can impact us, not to mention the long list of to-dos that must happen in a timely manner. I largely thought I was doing okay and managing everything, but just shy of 2 weeks ago, I had several days of horrific migraines and intense visual auras, exactly 9 years after a severe case of optic neuritis upended my life as I knew it. Gratefully, with the tools I have acquired in my toolbox over the last decade, I was able to remain calm and limit the damage. But it made me reflect a lot on the unique challenges of this season. And truthfully, the vision stuff was scary, which I think is important for us to admit and not feel ashamed about experiencing. There are a lot of challenges that I've gotten much better at navigating over time, and some I clearly still struggle with. In addition to the challenges, this powerful reminder also encouraged me to build a better support strategy for the coming months. I'll share a few examples of some of the shifts I've experienced these past few weeks with the hopes that it will illuminate some opportunities in your own life of the seasonal opportunities to plant new seeds of change as investments in future happiness. A timely message from the trees right now reminded me that it's time for the leaves to change color and let go from their branches. Even if they want to hang on, they will all eventually fall. This has encouraged me to lean into better time management, distilling down top priorities of what must happen and letting go of, or pushing pause on, other non-essential or non-health supporting activities or even relationships. You know, regardless of how we historically may be wired, it's okay to let some things go. Everything has its time and purpose. Just because we've always done something doesn't mean we have to keep doing it forever. We can allow it to change and fall away, just like the leaves. As I've started to let go of some things these past few years, it amazes me how creating space allows really brilliant new things to show up that otherwise wouldn't have any space to grow. Are there things in your life you'd like to let fall and take off your plate or remove from your garden? Be thinking about this. If you could remove something, it might just make room for something more important for this phase of your life. My recent struggles have also inspired a renewed commitment to adhering to my top health supporting strategies. For example, to better support my nutrition goals, I joined a group earlier this week led by my dear MS friend Marla to engage in my first formal 24-hour fast. It was easier than expected. I definitely plan to do it again and maybe even do it weekly. I'm still learning, but at some point I will record an episode on the benefits of various forms of fasting for MS. Before we go any further, my gratitude portion for this episode is heavily related to this topic. I want to thank the two daffodil bulbs in my garden that are currently blooming. Wait, don't daffodils bloom in spring? Well, yes, and this particular varietal historically consistently starts blooming here in the very narrow window of March 10th through 17th. They bloomed already in March of this year and were not anticipated to bloom again until next spring. While they honestly startled me, there are some important lessons they shared which are helping me a lot to better navigate this personally tricky season. While scripture, song, and poems often communicate that there is a season for everything, this is definitely not your typical daffodil season. However, we have had very unpredictable weather, in that we've already experienced heavy rain and even a freeze here, followed by significantly warmer weather, which normally doesn't happen until much later, and are all three of nature's signalers for bulbs to gain readiness to bloom. These atypical bloomers have reminded me that it's okay to march by the beat of our own drum, to swim upstream, to change things up when it feels right to do so. They've also reminded me that I have my own unique timeline and rhythm and flow. When things feel off, it's okay to choose to bloom anyway, even if it impacts my ability to bloom again down the road when I'm supposed to. Or I could hold back and wait to bloom, like the hundreds of other daffodil bulbs underground in our yard. There is not just one way to live, grow, or bloom. As a result, I changed course on a few important things in my life. With an exciting new project I'm building with two collaborators, we had a very honest conversation and decided upon a big pivot that would allow us all to continue to build together with a bit more ease and flow. And I pushed pause on my lofty goal of planting 625 bulbs in 10 days without injury, as an effort to better embrace my pace during this challenging time. 625, you say? Yes. In full transparency, I had a significant brain fart. as all humans, and particularly folks with cognitive struggles, experience. A few weeks ago, a 40-pound box of bulbs showed up, which surprised me, because I distinctly remembered only ordering 200 iris bulbs this year in September to be shipped when it's ideal to plant them in my agricultural zone. Well, upon further review, I discovered that I had already ordered 425 daffodil and tulip bulbs last February, and of course, completely forgot about them. Even though I was feeling a bit overwhelmed by the results of this major brain fart, I was really excited about challenging myself. I even posted my goal on social media to help hold myself accountable. I started off pushing myself to plant a minimum of 75 bulbs a day, but I didn't get very far because I was exhausted and experiencing one of those migraines and painful visual auras I mentioned. The old me would have continued to push through and ignored the painful signals being sent by my body to stop. The current me, I'm happy to say, swallowed my pride and stopped. Truth be told, I only resumed planting this past weekend, and I'm still not even quite done with the first bag of 100 bulbs. Oh well, it happens. I will get there in time. Not my preferred timeline, but the divine timeline that is meant to be while taking care of myself. Bulbs are smart. They will adjust and do their thing in their own time, too. You might be wondering why I even plant bulbs every year, when digging so many holes is so physically taxing. And trust me, even with my trusted bulb digging tool, digging 625 6-inch deep holes in clay soil takes a lot of effort, especially with physical limitations and pain. But here's why I do it. First, I know I won't be able to do it forever. Nothing lasts forever. But most bulbs I plant come back year after year, so I think of every bulb as an investment in my future happiness. And hopefully they will still be blooming long after I am gone. If I can add some beauty to the world, I'm all for it. And as someone who lost a lot of their visual ability 9 years ago and still has limited color vision in my right eye, I am obsessed with bright colors. By planting a variety of bulbs, I'm ensuring that every single day, from January 1st on, there will always be something new and surprising blooming to lift my spirits and remind me that even on those really challenging days, there is always something worthy of awe and appreciation. And so I plant. In addition to planting bulbs, I also plan to start a few cold season crops, but I'm keeping it very simple this year, mostly focusing on hardy herbs like cilantro, parsley, and dill, all grown from seeds. Let's now dive into the opportunities beyond the garden that we all have this time of year to invest in our future happiness. These don't need to be big things. In fact, most things, just like in the garden that grow into big things, start as small seeds. So let's think about the small seeds we can plant right now in our lives to yield a better tomorrow for ourselves and maybe even others. There are three pillars of investment when we think about our current levels of happiness and our ability to deliberately cultivate future happiness for ourselves. And just like financial investments for the future, diversification across these three different pillars offers the best returns for our long-term well-being. Consistency is more important than intensity. So let's look at small, doable things we can do, those small seeds we can plant that will add up to large harvests in happiness over time. As we review just some of the endless possible seed ideas, be thinking which you might want to plant for yourself. Or maybe these ideas will spark other ideas for you. The first pillar of investment is physical and mental health investments. Health is wealth, and don't we know it? As folks living with MS, a healthy body and mind makes everything else easier. And when we don't have that, everything can become much more difficult over time. Here are some ways we can make valuable investments in our future physical and mental health and plant small seeds now that will propel ourselves to a better place over time. There are many seeds we can plant through our habits and practices to help support our physical and mental health. Let's first look at a few seeds we can plant to help us sleep better, since we know just how critical sleep is for us and how elusive it can be. Creating a consistent sleep-wake schedule is one of the most important ways we can assist our body in creating energy and combating fatigue. Creating a relaxing bedtime routine is one place to start, but even this can feel too big. And sometimes when things feel too big, this perceived barrier to even start makes change feel impossible. But there are some very small seeds we can plant that with daily or most day cultivation can blossom into beautifully big changes over time. We can establish just a micro routine for bed. Just before lying down, for example, we can do 1 minute of slow, deep breathing or listen to one very short, favorite calming song. We can set a stop time. We can choose a specific time each evening to stop checking work or stressful emails or triggering news headlines to help get our brain prepped and relaxed for sleep. If this feels too difficult to do every day, just try 1 or 2 days per week. Stay curious and take notes on how this impacts your sleep. While preparing for bed, we can stimulate our vagus nerve by humming as we brush our teeth for the night. To improve the quality of our sleep, we can invest in darkness. We can buy an inexpensive eye mask, pull a hat or hood over our eyes, or turn off one extra light source in our room before bed. We can implement a 5-minute power down. What's that? A 5-minute power down is an example of a micro transition into a place where we're able to achieve better sleep. This could mean we choose to do a few of the following or create our own ideas. We can stop using screens 5 minutes before our head hits the pillow. We can change into comfortable pajamas like merino wool that keep us comfortable in all temperatures and soothe and relax our skin. We can place a cool washcloth on the back of our neck before we go to bed to lower our body temperature, which promotes optimal sleep. We can listen to just 1 or 2 minutes of calming sounds on YouTube, like white noise, rain, or other sounds we find soothing. There are also limitless healing frequencies for putting pretty much any symptom imaginable. We can do 2 minutes of slow, deep belly breathing exercises. In addition to a 5-minute power down, if we are currently night owls, we could decide to slowly shift our bedtime by just 5 minutes each day. This is a great way, by the way, to adjust slowly our schedules during time changes in the spring and fall. If changing our habits in the evening feels too hard, we can instead prioritize a consistent wake time, regardless of when we go to bed. By getting up at the same time every day, we can help regulate our body's inner clock. Over time, it will make our evening routines easier to shift. These micro changes add up over time, and choosing just 1 or 2 small seeds to plant to help our sleep can help significantly. Which might you choose? Do you have your own seed ideas? There are other physical and mental health investments that we can make beyond sleep. Let's talk next about exercise and movement. It's not hard to find new exercise seeds to plant. What sounds like fun? Start there. Maybe you'd like to try chair yoga, qigong, or chair dancing. Yes, it is a thing. It's easy to allow our physical disabilities or mental health challenges to get in the way of possibility. Did you know that research shows that even when we can't physically move our bodies a certain way, just imagining that we are moving shows similar benefits of actually moving? Pretty amazing stuff. So when we look at some examples of exercise and movement seeds, try not to focus on limiting beliefs and instead on the possibilities of even focusing on imagining ourselves doing something that we currently find difficult or beyond our ability. One seed we can plant is to take a moment and actually schedule something we'd like to do to invest in our physical health, even if it's just 5 minutes of a stretching video on YouTube. Or even if that feels too big, try micro movements and habit stacking them. This idea is one that pairs a small movement with an action we already do. And the beauty of this is that it's easy to train ourselves to do something new along with a current habit, creating these habit loops that become automatic quickly. For example, every time we get up, instead of just standing up once, we can do 3 sit-to-stand exercises. So we're working those muscles just a wee bit more and helping to maintain or even grow our strength and ability. We can also do what's called a doorway stretch during a transition. For a literal example, every time we walk through a doorway, we can stop and do a simple stretch, like a neck tilt, an overhead arm reach, touch our toes, or do 5 calf raises onto our toes. We can also do one of these mini stretch sessions with a fun one called While We Wait. For example, while we're waiting for a commercial to end, or during the first minute of a show, or during the credits. If able, we can even stand and march in place during commercials. If we like to sit for extended time, getting up every hour and doing a simple stretch, or walking to the nearest window and back, or taking time to fill our water glass or use the restroom with regularity. All of these can help a lot. Since I'm working on balance and strengthening my Achilles at physical therapy right now, I use the opportunity of waiting for my water glass to fill to balance on one leg. Since I fill my glass 8 to 10 times a day, that's a lot of practice throughout the day. This works while waiting for the microwave, coffee, or teapot, too. While sitting, we can gently flex various muscle groups, like move each ankle to trace the letters of the alphabet, or point and flex our ankles 5 to 10 times to help our circulation. We can do the same with our arms, wrists, and fingers. Or, if we're wanting to improve our grip strength, or repair our dexterity, we can use a squeeze ball or a finger stretcher while we're watching TV or when we're a passenger in a car. Look for opportunities in your own life while you wait and make the most of those few quick minutes or even less. They add up much more than you might think. I even do this now while driving, stopped at red lights, or when standing in line at the post office. A few simple neck stretches or shoulder shrugs are surprisingly helpful, and they make time spent waiting productive and pass more quickly. In fact, waiting used to annoy me, and now I actually find I enjoy these little moments of mindfulness while I wait. These are all micro habits in that they require minimal effort and can be done even when we're feeling very fatigued. With all of these micro habits, the goal is to engage in them consistently rather than to engage in them with intensity. Seeds grow slowly. Don't try to force them. Just cultivate them a little each day. This sort of practice, just doing a tiny bit at a time, also helps us to get larger jobs done. For example, during each micro session, we can do just one little part of a task. Think about emptying the dishwasher. By just emptying one shelf at a time, even one piece at a time, or just the cutlery tray, over time it is complete while not depleting too much of our energy at once. This is also a helpful strategy when tackling chores like laundry or sweeping. Another opportunity to plant a helpful seed for ourselves is to increase our water intake. Or if we are already drinking enough volume of water, increase the regularity of our water intake. And by the way, if you're not aware of just how critical our water intake is, consider listening to episode 95, The Healing Power of Water for MS Symptoms. Sometimes it's hard to keep track of how much we're drinking throughout the day. One thing we can do the night before is to prep a day's worth of water on the counter, or place full glasses throughout the house, like on our bedside table, or in insulated travel bottles if we plan to leave the house for the day. This creates a path of least resistance, so water is always available to us. A really underestimated habit is drinking a full glass of water immediately upon waking. By putting it on our bedside table the night before, it's ready to go. We can even prep healthy snacks the night before and then put them in locations where we spend the most time. And having ready-to-grab healthy snacks on the front shelf of the fridge makes us more likely to grab that over something less healthy that might tempt us in the moment. We can plant a seed of commitment to adding one additional colorful fruit or vegetable to one meal, or to every meal. This could mean adding a few baby carrots or apple slices to your lunch, a handful of berries for breakfast, or an additional vegetable to our dinner plate. By eating more of the rainbow each day, we more adequately feed our mitochondria, which are our energy producers, with the colorful phytonutrient fuel they need to help us prevent and combat fatigue. Beyond fueling our body, eating is also a great opportunity to focus on our mental health. We can take our first 3 to 5 or more bites of food with mindfulness. By chewing each bite 30 times, we aid digestion and can better focus on the tastes and textures of our food. Even thinking about how our food is nourishing our bodies can be a positive way to enjoy each bite. Eating slowly also helps our digestive system more accurately monitor our intake and tell us when we're full. While we don't want to drink a lot of water while we eat, since it dilutes important stomach acids that help transform food into nutrients for our body, taking 2 to 3 slow, mindful sips of water every so often while we're eating can be a good investment habit. Speaking of mindfulness and meditation, setting aside micro amounts of time, even 1 minute, just a few times a day, to just relax can make a big difference. In fact, every time we catch ourselves throughout the day getting tense, anxious, nervous, or unhappy, taking just 1 minute to take a few deep breaths or to smile a big smile, which actually automatically has a very positive impact on our body and mind, regardless of how we actually feel, can create significant shift over time. One seed of change I love is taking a few moments throughout the day to stop doing and just be in the present moment. A tool I like is called 333. While taking slow, deep breaths, look slowly around you to notice and name 3 things you see, 3 things you hear, and 3 things you feel. Examples might be a houseplant, the hum of a refrigerator, a purring cat, or the unique texture of a throw blanket. When we do encounter difficult situations throughout our day, taking a moment to give ourselves an arm hug or exercising another method of self-compassion can make a big difference in our mental health. One tip that helps me a lot is trying to treat myself with the same kindness and empathy as I would treat a good friend. It took me a long time, years in fact, to realize the power of treating myself as well as I treat my friends. I mean, if we're not friendly to ourselves, how on earth can we expect to have a good day since we live with ourselves? The connection between self-compassion, self-care, and mental health is undeniable. By better caring for ourselves just a little each day, the shift in happiness is palpable. Upping our self-care reduces our overall stress and anxiety, increases our ability to be resilient in the face of challenges, helps increase our energy and reduce fatigue, and gives us a healthier sense of our worth as the only human that is us. A few other seeds that we can plant to support our mental health are just 60 seconds of box breathing, where we inhale a count of 4, hold for a count of 4, and exhale for a count of 6. Just a few of these breaths can change us dramatically. We can make a mental note or write down just 1 thing so far that we are grateful for. If you tend to underestimate the healing power of gratitude, I invite you to check out episode 4 for the research and a significant list of creative ways to build a gratitude practice over time. We can take 1 minute to do a quick body scan and look for body parts that feel good and are working. While it can be very easy to focus our attention on the parts that don't feel so good, try and see what happens when we actively seek out what is actually good. Here's another seed that has made a big difference for me. If we notice that we just said yes when we really wanted to say no, spending just 1 minute deciding one thing that we won't do again and making this promise to ourselves can be really healing. As an example, one recent seed I planted was at my neurology appointment last month. I decided that moving forward, I am going to use an upright MRI after some really horrible MRI tube experiences. By saying no to the traditional MRI tube, I am being kind to myself and removing a very stressful event. Sometimes a powerful investment in ourselves is even before we say yes to something that we promise ourselves that we'll take 1 minute to do a quick body scan to see if we're really feeling up to something rather than overcommitting or jumping into something we might not actually want to do. Since many of us are hyperachievers or type A personalities, taking a quick moment to check in can help us to accurately determine if we have the energy and true desire to do something. When we push through resistance to a point of exhaustion, we end up experiencing payback fatigue. By better budgeting our energy and making sure we are prioritizing our energy to do things that align with our top values, we can actually accomplish more by doing less. If you're someone like me who initially struggled with overdoing it, you might consider setting an hourly alarm, or even more frequent, to check in with yourself and see how you're doing. This is how I learned over time to better learn my body's unique signals so I could hear the messages of my physical and emotional needs. Clearly, with what happened a few weeks ago, I am still a work in progress in this area. All we can do is try and try again. I hope some of these seed ideas for ways to invest in our future physical and emotional wellness sparked interest in you to choose just a couple or even just one new thing to try to invest in your future physical and emotional wellness. The second pillar of investment is relationship investments. Did you know that the quality of our connections correlates directly with our happiness? We've addressed relationships in many different previous episodes, like those on boundaries, fountains and drains, the power of healing and community, and so on. So let's look at a few newer ideas for seeds we can plant to help improve our relationships. We can choose one person we've been missing and wanting to reach out to each week or each month. We can write to them, call them, Zoom with them, or send them a small care package. If we don't have the energy or time to talk, we can text, use voice to text, or use Slidial to leave a voicemail. Every small outreach seed builds connection. For a loved one that we live with, leaving a short compliment, statement of appreciation, or even just a smiley face on a sticky note somewhere they will see it the next day can be a sweet way to boost someone's day, and ours too. I had a dear friend last year leave a simple, cute note on the windshield of my Jeep. It meant so much to me that I kept it, and I keep it in my car so that every time I tilt down the sunshade, it reminds me of our friendship and their words of appreciation. These little things are actually really big things. Quality time together is a very important love language. If you're not familiar with Gary Chapman's love languages, check out episode 6. This simple framework and quiz can help you learn more about yourself and your loved ones and determine the most rewarding ways to connect with one another. It can also give us new ideas of ways to connect. We can set aside time to spend quality time with someone either virtually or in person. Tending to our relationship seeds helps them thrive. It doesn't need to be a long time. We can set timers for ourselves so we don't overdo it. Have you ever heard the quote, give people their flowers while they're still here? Quite simply, don't leave words of gratitude and appreciation until someone dies. Do it now. Say the thing. We can be bold in expressing our love and making someone's day. Another related potential seed opportunity is to think about someone that we are at odds with or have lingering regrets about. These festering wounds don't heal unless we work through them. Saying we're sorry or practicing the beautiful forgiveness practice of Ho'oponopono can help mend fences or at the very least release us from holding on to regret. Sometimes a seedling is actually a weed and doesn't belong in our garden. It's okay to set healthy boundaries and communicate our needs. What we need in life is just as important for us as other folks doing what they need. Oftentimes, folks in our community tend to prioritize the comfort and priorities of others more than our own. Does that sound familiar? By taking just a few minutes to reflect on a relationship and determine if it's a weed or not can help us cultivate a garden that truly sustains us. Episodes 9 and 10 take a deep dive into relationships and how relationships impact our ability to live well with MS. Speaking of literal weeds, before we move on, weeding can be a never-ending and quite daunting task in the garden. Sometimes I will just commit to picking 5 weeds or weeding for just 2 minutes. Believe it or not, that adds up over time. In our backyard, we have a long rock river that separates our lawn into 2 sections. Even though it has a weed barrier underneath the rocks, we often get grass and weeds poking through. I start at one end of the river, slowly picking just 5 weeds at a time. Sometimes it takes me a month to do the whole river, but by the time I'm done, it's time to start again. Doing this task incrementally is much easier than trying to do it all in one day. I've done that and have hurt myself badly. Another way we can plant a seed for ourselves is by taking a few minutes to think about our support system. What might it be lacking? What are we craving? A strong support system acts as a buffer against the stressors of life. So having a strong network in place helps make navigating every type of challenge just a little bit easier. So what's missing in our current support system? Are we missing a friend who also lives with MS that we can be really honest with and have them understand? Which can be an unfair expectation to have of someone not personally living with MS. If this is true for you, make a commitment to yourself to spend just a few minutes exploring your options. The MS Society website lists local peer support groups near you, as well as virtual opportunities to connect via Zoom or phone with an MS friend. My friend James and I also have a group that meets up on Saturdays that you're welcome to join. Reach out if you'd like the Zoom link. What else might you be missing in your support system? How is your medical care team? Do you have a doctor you trust and actually enjoy seeing? If not, this is a really important seed to plant, as it can change our entire outlook in terms of how we feel about our ability to live well with MS. Local support groups, next door, local Facebook groups, or mymsteam.com are great places to ask others about local doctors they recommend. If we have an important relationship with someone that isn't going well, one thing we can do is commit to learning more about ourselves so that we can change the way we communicate with them. Often, when one party changes their communication style, it creates a shift in the relationship that benefits both parties. As someone who has been using the PQ Mental Fitness app tools for over 3 years now, I can personally attest to the program helping me better understand my own ways of being, my reactions, and my tendencies that sometimes don't help my relationships thrive. By learning better mental fitness skills and building my ability to remain in a sage state of mind, it has helped my relationships a lot. If you're interested in learning more about PQ, I'm probably only going to offer one cohort this fall and winter. Check out episode 69 and reach out to find out more. A small seed you could plant now is taking the free Saboteur assessment and beginning to reflect on your ways of being. You might also consider having someone you'd like to improve your relationship with take it too, then talk about what you've learned about yourselves. This investment in self and others can cultivate much joy and deeper, more meaningful relationships over time. Another seed we can plant is advance planning for a fun outing or a trip we'd like to take with someone. We could even plan a staycation or a movie night, or to meet up to discuss a book we both want to read. The important part is spending just a few minutes together brainstorming fun things you could do together. Choosing one or two fun things to do together each month can help support even the most struggling of relationships. Having something fun to anticipate together can bring us joy beforehand, in addition to having fun when we do it, and then later when we reflect on the memories we built together. Since the holidays can be intensely busy and exhausting with large-scale celebrations, we can plant seeds of low-effort, smaller social connections throughout the season. How's your neighborhood? Are there opportunities to plant seeds there? This is a seed I'm actively thinking about. When we first moved here, we sent a letter of introduction to our neighbors, and it was a really nice way to kickstart connection with our neighbors and open the door to friendship and neighborly interactions. In the 8 years since, we've had many new neighbors move to our court, and we haven't done a great job initiating new connections or cultivating existing ones with the more quiet neighbors. It's really important to me that if a neighbor needs something, they know we're here. It's nice for us as well to have neighbors we can count on. And if there's something we need to work on together, like a shared fence line, it's important we all feel approachable and like team players. So one of my seeds I want to plant here is getting another short letter written by Thanksgiving, so we can deliver those, likely with some apricot jalapeno jam we made from apricots off our tree. Are there opportunities in your neighborhood, your building, your workplace, where you could plant a seed of neighborly collaboration? What seeds could you plant to benefit your existing relationships or grow new ones? Let's move on to the third pillar of investment, which is purpose and growth opportunities. Spend a moment reflecting on activities that give us a sense of meaning, mastery, or flow. What might be we interested in learning? What do we wonder about? What seed of knowledge will be like to plant? Spending just a short time, one or two times per week, working on learning something new can give us a sense of purpose and keep us growing new synapses in our brains, which help keep us mentally fit over time. If we've had a neuropsych exam, we likely know which areas we struggle with. Finding a fun game to play that we enjoy helps us practice in those areas and can help our cognitive abilities a lot over time. What's a way to express our creativity that might help us experience more joy? Creative pursuits like painting, writing, playing an instrument, knitting, learning a new language, anything really. Engaging in a hobby just for the sake of joy can be a seed that grows into a bright ray of light that brightens our everyday. Is there a seed of volunteerism that we'd like to cultivate? Even when we feel helpless ourselves, spending just a little time helping others can provide us with a powerful sense of purpose and satisfaction. In fact, many of us in our community are happiest when we're helping others. What's a cause you care about that you'd like to offer your time, care, or expertise? It doesn't need to be a big commitment. Studies show that volunteering just once a month can have a sizable positive impact on our feelings of purpose, meaning, and belonging. Might it even be MS-related? If you are doing something to support the MS community and want to be a guest here to share about it, please reach out. We'd love to know what you're doing and how we might participate or support you in your efforts. Another small seed might be thinking about what we want to change about ourselves. Is there a habit we're trying to break? An injury, either physical or emotional, that we'd like to heal? Are there ways of being that we'd like to do differently? Are there things that are really important to us that we're struggling to do and might benefit from asking for help with? Asking for help is hard for a lot of us. It certainly is for me. Is there a seed you could plant to find someone to help with something that's really hard for you? A few years ago, I finally decided to find a house helper to come to the house every other week to help me with the deeper cleaning tasks that were too difficult for me given the nerve damage in my hands and other physical limitations. This seed I planted, and that both of us have cultivated over time, has grown into a beautiful friendship. I love when Jessie comes to help. She's so much more than a house helper to me. What kind of help might you need? I hope exploring these three pillars of investment in ourselves, our mental and physical health, our relationships, and our sense of purpose and personal growth have given you ideas of small seeds you can plant this fall to yield a rich harvest for yourself over time. Investing in ourselves guarantees more moments of joy, warmth, and light. By planting seeds in these three different areas of our lives, then cultivating those investments over time, we can dramatically invest in and increase our future happiness, even through a cold, dark winter. My hope today is that we all, one, acknowledge that we are responsible for tending to our garden of life. We have the ability to plant seeds of change and invest in our future happiness to cultivate joy, a sense of meaning, and a better life. Two, that we consider all three pillars of investment, physical and mental health, relationships, and purpose and personal growth, and use just a few short minutes each day to decide what seeds in each area we'd most like to plant. And three, that we remember that even though there is lots in our lives that we cannot control, we can choose to plant seeds and cultivate them into something beautiful that will enhance our lives. To continue our conversation, you are welcome to attend our Misunderstood Flock meetings via Zoom the first Saturday of each month. The next meeting is this Saturday, November 1st. Flock members, I'm looking forward to seeing you there, and I hope you'll bring a few ideas of seeds you're thinking of planting to share with the group. If you're not yet a Flock member but would like to be, please join us. We are all people living with MS from around the world that meet via Zoom monthly to support each other and continue our learning on the episode topics. We also support each other through hardships and celebrate our successes together. You can learn more and join us by visiting our Patreon page. Before we go, I also want to invite all of you to join me for the November Myelin Room virtual dance party with Dr. Susan Peyrovi. These monthly events take place on the second Saturday of each month. So November's event is on Saturday, November 8th at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time for 30 minutes. This would be a great seed to plant. If you want to learn more about the Myelin Room first, please check out episode 94. All are welcome. It's great to see people moving, however it works. Some folks even stay off camera, and that's okay too. You can sign up to receive the Zoom link and an email reminder at drsusanpeyrovi.com. Click on the events area to see the Myelin Room sign up. As always, I encourage all listeners to reach out with MS-related questions, comments, future podcast topics, or guest ideas via email. And lastly, remember, as we travel through life with MS, we're certain to hit some turbulence. We'll get through it, especially if we're flying together, supporting one another, and honking our encouragement. As always, thank you for listening, plant some seeds, and until next time, be well.